We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and Facebook at Social Capital with Lori Hybe. All links will be found in the show notes. This week's guest is Frank Walter. Frank is an executive coach for CEOs, presidents, and leadership professionals. When digging through his LinkedIn profile, I found this really interesting statement, which I'm going to ask him about. I am committed to inspiring, encouraging, and motivating others to do what they say they want to do. Frank, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So this statement on your LinkedIn profile, talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, Simon Sinek, the gentleman who wrote the book Start With Why, was in town, and I attended his session, and he was encouraging everybody to figure out why we do what we do, not just what we do. In other words, get closer to one's essence, which is who we are, and it was good for me. I liked it, and so I went through the exercise, and I came up with, as you said, this idea of inspiring and encouraging people to do the things that they want to do. Because quite often, you know, especially in the work world that we live in, we're doing stuff that other people want us to do and maybe lose sight of who we are. And when we're doing who we are, we're probably close to near perfection in how we deliver stuff.
So that is interesting. I like that. I'm a huge fan of Simon Sinek as well. Mm-hmm. I've read his book and I've done some of his exercises. I'm just kind of finalizing my why statement, but I really like yours. I am committed to inspiring, encouraging, and motivating others to do what they say they want to do. That's fantastic. All right, so I've got another question here for you. What is the best way to build my audience on social media?
Well, that's my question, actually, because I don't know how to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to know that, because I've been, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with technology. In fact, it was about 2 years ago, I think it was, that LinkedIn celebrated its 10th anniversary, and I got this unanticipated email from LinkedIn telling me that I was like number 785 who signed up. So I was one of the first 1,000 people who ever signed up with LinkedIn. And I use it, you know, a lot, I guess. I'm very comfortable with a lot of other technologies. I don't tweet very often. I do have an account, but I haven't figured out how I can use it to my advantage and to the advantage of the people I work with. But I'd like to know more about that. And also, as you probably saw in my profile, I work with an organization called the Executive Committee, or we call it tech. And I currently work with three groups, which total 40-some business owners and top-level executives. And I'm always trying to find additional individuals for the groups to balance them out. So I'm trying to figure out how to best use all the different approaches, you know, sort of media, if you will, just sending people letters, networking, and of course using electronic media to locate people that might be candidates for these groups.
Okay, now I think this is a good foundation for the discussion, actually. As we go through some of my questions, maybe we can kind of circle back to that initial question of really how do you use social media to continue to grow your groups?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Okay. Well, that being said, let's move on to this first question here. Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
My best networking story in social media or just networking in general?
In general.
I would say there's an attorney that I know in town, and he has given me the names of people that he thought I should know. And it was interesting because there were, over the years, and we're probably saying maybe over the last 10 years, he's probably given me 50 people that he thought I should talk to, mm-hmm. both for my advantage and also for their advantage. And of course, I always is a big word, but I would say in my case, I always follow up on references if somebody gives them. I figure if they've gone and given me that the respect and the trust to refer someone to me, I like to follow up. And that one attorney has probably ended up where I have gone on to helping as an executive coach probably about half of them over that period of time. So that was very, very good. And it was the old-fashioned way, just face-to-face, you know, eyeball-to-eyeball, two people talking. And he says, here are some people. Why don't you go give them a call?
So how did you initially meet this attorney?
Oh, through some people that I knew.
So he was referred to you initially.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's a classic story.
Sure.
It's a classic story. So actually, there was a woman who used to work on my team when I was running a company several years ago. And she referred me to him. And so it was a trusted type of connection, therefore.
Okay. That's great. So, and you've had this relationship with him for over 10 years now. And mm-hmm. I mean, based on that math, you've probably helped 25 people, which I'm sure has built his network too, because you actually brought value. So in essence, he brought value to mm-hmm. these relationships as well.
Exactly, because I always think of networking as, if I'm going to give you the name of somebody, what I'm doing is I'm putting my reputation on the line with somebody that I know and saying, you know, here's Lori. You know, you should talk to Lori. And I'm putting my reputation on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that trust and confidence part.
Sure.
It is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Okay, so, you know, based on this large network that you do have, you've owned a company, you are obviously supporting a number of professionals and executives. How do you stay in front of or best nurture this community, this network?
God, I wish I had the answer for that. I'm not sure. I'll tell you what I try. As I mentioned, I was an early adopter of LinkedIn, which is very good for business-to-business type of contacts, so I do that. I do, you know, still, like I say, the old-fashioned way, just talking to people face-to-face and asking them for people that they would like to refer, because not because of me so much, but if somebody thinks that I'm adding value to their life and they know of somebody that they would like to get some value in their life, that's kind of what it's all about. So but like I say, that's the old-fashioned way.
There's nothing wrong with
yeah.
the old-fashioned
so
way.
email blasts.
Yeah.
You know, LinkedIn. I'm pretty comfortable with texting people around, but it's really just, you know, establishing value with someone, and then they say, gee, I know somebody who I feel could benefit. So I always try to tell people, don't give me a referral just because you think I can make some money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that happens, and yes, I need to do that. But it's mainly do it for the other person.
Okay. That's really, really good. I like that a lot.
In fact, there's an interesting story in one of the tech groups that I work with, is there was a man who, he said, you know, Frank, I'm never going to give you any referrals. That's your job, is to keep people in your groups. And I said, well, I agree with that. You should never give me referrals because it is my job. But if you're getting value out of your experience with tech, then I think you should make referrals to people who you think can get value mm-hmm. from being in a tech group, whether it's mine or one of the others. Because we have, I think, over 1,000 people in the state of Wisconsin who are in tech groups. So these are senior level individuals, like presidents of companies, and quite often they're the owners and the CEOs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. It's not just...
It's not about Frank here.
Yes, it's not. Exactly.
It's about the person that you know that you think maybe is struggling a little bit or needs an outlet and other executives to talk to about some similar problems and issues.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that goes back to the discussion we had pre this recording regarding perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the perspective of the person that you're helping and the value that they're actually seeing, as opposed to, you know, just being so, you know, blinded and zoned in on that one thing of, all I'm doing is helping Frank out with this situation. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Okay, so, you know, you opened up that question with you didn't know, but then you ended up with some really good points with establishing value and doing it for the other person. So what advice would you offer to the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
I would say add value to other people's lives. Do that first, and then usually you don't even have to ask for them to give you referrals. They'll just spontaneously do it. And I know that may sound a little Pollyannish, but sometimes Pollyannish works, you know, because it's all about relationships.
Okay, so I'm going to use that statement to circle back to the question that you asked me, which I thought was a question for you. What is the best way to build my audience on social media? And you've already answered this now.
Oh, I have?
Yes, you
do. Well, help me with it.
It's adding value.
Okay.
It's establishing the value for someone, and you're putting the content out there for that other person. You're not putting content out to just say, look at me and how awesome I am. You're putting content out to build value and to really make sure that someone else is going to... the information you're putting out there adds purpose, you know, and is something that they can use.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're doing that, you're building that relationship and you're becoming known as that trusted resource because of the valuable information you're putting out there.
Okay. And so the in quotes media is just the conduit or the tool to make the connections.
Exactly. And I think that I find a number of people are so scared of social media because they think it's just another tool for selling, when in actuality, it's another tool for building your relationships and nurturing and adding value, no different than having those face-to-face discussions with someone, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I'm going to go into my next question here.
Okay.
Digital networking or traditional networking, which do you find more value in?
I think in the ideal world, and maybe it's because of my age, since I'm 69 years old, I grew up before there was anything like what we call social media today.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that human beings like to be with other human beings, you know, face to face, in the room with them, as the two of us are right now, and have an open and honest discussion, because there's all the subtle hidden cues of body language and things that are going on that establish that relationship. Having said that, the reach that electronic social media provides us is just amazing. It's just amazing, because I could send a tweet out on a topic, whatever that topic may be, and it'll go all over the world, literally, within like one nanosecond.
Mm-hmm.
That's really almost beyond belief. It's like telepathy almost, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Just bam, I just throw this thought out into the universe and everybody's got it.
Uh-huh.
Whoever wants to have it can get it. So that is pretty amazing how that technology... Now, having said that, of course, we know that there's some shenanigans that can, and mischief that can occur too.
Absolutely.
With a lot of, you know, misleading information. But I think if somebody's putting a true message out, in the end, people will figure it out.
Yeah. So traditional, though, I mean, that's kind of what we're leaning towards.
And I think the social media, the electronic stuff, is a means to create a next step where the people agree to get together and talk.
Yes.
And really, you know, like I say, you know, eyeball to eyeball.
Yep. And just, no, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
It's a tool.
It's a tool.
It's a tool in your toolbox. It's really the way you have to
It's like waving your hand in a crowd and saying, look at me over here.
Yep.
And look what I've got. Anybody interested?
Exactly.
And then a handful of people say, yeah, I'm interested. Let's go step off to the side and let's have a relationship of some sort about this topic.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So you get it now.
Oh, wow. You're scaring me now.
No. You've got it figured out. All right. So if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I probably would have started my own business.
Okay.
If I could go back in time, as opposed to working for someone else. Not that I don't like working for other people. It's just that I, over the years, have run quite a few different companies for others as well as for myself. And I didn't know when I was my 20-year-old person that I had the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. And certainly was not ready to take the risks of, you know, putting my house up for hock.
Sure.
Or anything like that. I think I would do that. I would have done that.
So what business would you have started, do you think?
I'm not sure about that. I've been in the solution providing business for all these years.
Sure, okay.
Helping people who have some sort of a challenge, that which would be a sort of on the positive side, or some major issue that they're grappling with, and helping them think through alternatives and make selections on approaches to take.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I probably would have been doing something like that. Having said that, as a 20-year-old, maybe I would have wanted to open up a HVAC company, you know, do heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, just because everybody needs it.
Yeah, well, that's still solving someone's problem.
It is, yeah. Keeping warm in the winter, mm-hmm, and keeping cool in the summer.
Yep. Okay, so we've all heard of the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 7th degree?
I don't know who the one person would be. I haven't really, that would take a little time for me to kind of focus on, but, you know, having spent most of my career in the IT world myself, I, you know, certainly would like to meet a guy like Bill Gates. That would be kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume we're somehow connected at 7 or 8 degrees.
I would imagine, especially with your experience at IBM on some level,
mm-hmm,
you know someone who's,
yeah,
connected. So how do you think you would go about starting that journey to connect with him?
I'd probably go into LinkedIn or something like that and start seeing who we have in common and see if I can get some intros.
So when are you going to start that?
You know, I don't really have that desire to really do it, but I think that would be probably a cool thing to do.
It would be.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the things that I love asking professionals is, what book are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading a book called Think Fast, Think Slow.
Okay.
The author's name is Kahneman. And don't ask me to spell his last name.
No. So,
and it has to do with the difference between how there are some topics that we have these two parts of our mind, that one part that just instantly knows like what to do and what the answer might be. That's the fast part. And then there's the other part that needs time to kind of put things together and put things in context. And both of them have great value.
Sure. I call that like digesting the information.
Yeah, there you go.
That's interesting. I'm really, mm-hmm, curious about that. I'll have to look into
that. One thing I've learned over the years is, when I was younger, I spent a lot of time reading business books.
Uh-huh.
But as I've gotten older, and I don't mean just recently, but maybe say starting 25 years ago or so, I realized that business is really, I mean, there are some fundamental things that we have to do that are process oriented, but most of what we do is all about people. The people that work on our team, whether, mm-hmm, we own the company or we're just a player, but we're on a team. And then there's our vendors and our clients. And it's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really all about them. And so people are not in business books, but people were studied by the great poets and philosophers. So I've learned to spend a lot of time, you know, learning about how the human machine operates by reading poets and philosophers.
That is so interesting. I love that. And it totally makes sense, actually. Because
I mean, this, you know, we need to focus on cash flow management and stuff like that and inventory. But that's not what makes everything happen. It's all about the folks that we work with.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the different people in our lives. And those are not studied.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's fantastic.
At that level.
So who's your favorite poet or philosopher?
My favorite poet of all time is Walt Whitman.
Ah, fantastic.
And philosopher, probably a handful of Asian writers like Lao Tzu, who wrote the Tao Te Ching.
Fantastic.
And of course, all the classical, you know, Greeks, Aristotle, Plato,
sure,
etc. Because that's our Western culture is built on that.
Totally. All right. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, since you kind of crystallized what I didn't know I was even saying is just focus on the relationships that I have and add value to people.
Yeah,
and I guess if it works for me, it would work for most people.
Absolutely. Focus on the relationships that you have and mm-hmm. add value, and it seems like your network will just grow organically.
Sure, yeah.
Fantastic. So if anyone would be interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
414-587-0425.
All right. We will put that in the show notes. Thanks, Frank, for being on the show. It was a great conversation.
Well, thank you, Lori, for helping me figure out that I already had some knowledge about something I didn't think I did. That is very nice. Thanks.
All right. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Frank Walter for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, please send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.